Y'all, thank you so much for joining us for another brand new episode of Drama. This week, we have star of the West End, soon to be star of Broadway, Tom Francis from Sunset Boulevard over in the West End. You're gonna absolutely love him. He's to die for. But before we get into the episode, I want to encourage you to become a member of Drama Plus, which is our bonus content platform on Patreon, patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where for $5 a month, you get access to our close friends and you get bonus episodes of me and Dylan chit-chatting away about all things love, life, pop culture, theater. Wait, I think I just did our catchphrase out of order, but love me through it. Anyway, like I said, you're going to absolutely adore Tom. Get ready for his big Broadway debut coming up soon. You'll have to listen to the episode to find out. And again, join Drama Plus, $5 goes right to the pod to your favorite twins, Connor and Dylan. What more could you want? All right, thank you so much. Now enjoy the show.
Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
Pop culture
love.
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, we are due for a trip back to the UK. It's been just over a year since we were last there. And I know we talked about it on our recent Twin Talk episode. If we were to go to the UK, we need to make a quick pit stop in Scotland.
Why do you want to? Oh, for the traitors.
Not for, well, okay. Yes, because I'm very traitors coded, but because we need to go to Glasgow and we need to take in the Willy Wonka experience.
Wait, I'm still not quite sure what that is, but I'm obsessed with that girl that was cast as an Oompa
She did what needed to be done.
Loompa. I fear she's an icon.
She is. I'm more interested in the unknown character.
So what is that? Is that a made up thing?
I have no
Or is it
idea.
from Wonka lore, you know?
It might be. There's a dark, twisted underbelly to Wonka lore for sure, but
Oh,
it is
yeah.
so fascinating and funny, just like the flop nature of it all, that it became instant camp.
Oh my God. It's like that Fire Fest that happened all those years ago. Remember that
Oh,
like fake
yeah.
whatever, like an island
Music
festival,
festival.
a
It was a
music
music
festival?
festival. Yeah.
I know, but how sad to think you're going to this wonderful Wonka experience and then it's crazy. Now, what they should do is rent out like Scottish castles so you can go do traders with your friends
Yeah, that'd be
and
sweet.
that would be so fun. Wait, the UK traders is coming to the
I
US.
know. So is it coming right when the US one ends?
I think like the day after. I don't know if they're dropping the whole season or if they're
Okay.
going to do it week to week. If they're smart, they'll do week to week because the momentum from
I know.
US season two, the memes in between episodes are just beyond.
I
So
know.
unbelievable.
Well,
But yeah, it was around a year ago we were in London.
and if anyone's been listening to this podcast for a long time, they know that we're quite the Anglophiles. It goes back to our early episode with Jordan Luke Gage, and we've had so
Oh,
many
yes.
fantastic Anne Juliet people over the years, but as
We've
well
had
as
almost all of them.
all of
Wait,
them. I know.
we should relax.
As well, some we're still trying to get. But anyways,
Oh,
we got to see Anne Juliet over there, and this phenomenal guy was Romeo.
I
And
know. We were gagged.
what is so fun is when you find a performer that you really are just blown away by, and then they continue working and doing cool stuff. I mean, it was the name on everybody's lips, Nicole Scherzinger, earlier this, well, I guess it was late last year when Sunset Boulevard happened, the Jamie Lloyd production. And
Oh, mama.
and now it's coming to Broadway.
I'm gagged. I'm so happy.
I know. And our Romeo is Joe in Sunset. It's incredible.
You know what? I'm gonna read the intro and bring him in. I have so many things I want to talk to him about. Y'all, you've seen him because of the curtain call photo. If nothing else, you've seen the curtain call photo in the black undies with the blood all over his chest. So I know you know who he is now. But
Yes.
anyway, you're gonna be obsessed because y'all, like we say when we have every single London guest on, London Calling, our guest today is the star of the revival of Sunset Boulevard, where he appeared alongside Nicole Scherzinger as Joe Gillis. The sensational and sexy production will be coming to Broadway next season with our guest slated to return along with it. Before his bloody breakout role on the West End, this multi-talented performer starred as the final Romeo in Anne Juliet at the Shaftesbury Theatre, as Roger in Rent at the Hope Mill Theatre, and in What's New, Pussycat at Birmingham Rep Theatre. United Kingdom audiences just might know him from showcasing his talents as Claude in Hair in concert at the London Palladium, as well as in the UK premiere of Drew Gasparini's I Could Use a Drink. He trained at the Arts Educational School in London, where he appeared in countless productions, including Legally Blonde, Freaky Friday, 110 in the Shade, and more. We're thrilled to be chatting with this absolute legend in the making today. Please welcome to Drama, Tom Francis.
Hey, I feel like I need that every single time I walk into a room. You know what I mean? Unbelievable intro, so thank you.
Absolutely. Tom, welcome to Drama. Are you well?
I'm very well. Life's good. I can't complain in any way.
Oh, I saw you drinking a cuppa earlier. Is this tea or is this coffee?
Yeah, no, I've just got a coffee. I've got coffee to keep me going through the day.
Where do we find you today? Where are you located?
So I literally have just touched down in Bristol.
Oh.
Because I'm back here for like 3 or 4 days at my girlfriend's house. And we are going to watch the world premiere of Starter for 10 tomorrow. We're going to the press night.
Oh my God, how fun. That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. So my best mate is the drummer in the band. And I like going and supporting him in everything he does because he always comes and supports me. So yeah, I'm going to go and watch him hit them drums.
Where is Bristol in relation to London?
It's like West Country.
Oh, okay.
It was like Bath.
Oh, okay. Is Bristol where Girls Aloud is performing at Pride this year?
Maybe.
I feel like let me do a quick Google. Hang on, because this is like a big deal. They're reuniting.
That will be crazy.
Oh yeah, when Connor and I were in London last year, we got to see Cheryl. She just goes by Cheryl now. No more Cheryl Cole or anything. We saw her in that Ghost Story play.
Oh, I saw that 222 Ghost Story.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you see Cheryl in it?
I didn't see her. I saw the lady who was in Love Island or something to do with Love Island.
Oh wow. Okay.
Laura something. Laura Wade.
Oh, Laura Whitmore? Was she
Whitmore.
The host?
Laura Whitmore. Yes.
Really? Oh my God. Wait, that would have been honestly iconic. She hosted Love Island for a few seasons after Caroline Flack. But
yeah.
Are you a Love Island person?
Not really. No, not massively. I watched like the first season and then it kind of dropped. I just kind of dropped off.
That's totally fair. I mean, it's so many episodes.
There is so many episodes. Also, like, I'm so bad at like scheduling time in the day to like be like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing that at that point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You probably have more important things to focus on.
I definitely don't. Not right now.
Okay, I looked it up. It's Brighton Pride, not Bristol.
Brighton,
yeah. Wait, okay.
That is one of the best prides in the UK, Brighton Pride.
Is it fun? Oh, well, yeah. It's going
to
be so
good. If you get a chance to go, it is absolutely incredible.
I love Cheryl.
Yeah, she's very good.
She's iconic. So wait, how'd you meet your girlfriend?
We did Sunset together, so that's how we met.
Oh. Fun.
We kind of met on the job. He plays young Norma. Have you seen any like bootlegs?
I know sometimes I do, but I heard that this one you have to just wait and experience it in real life because of just the production itself is so.
Oh, it's mad.
Wild. It is. It's mad.
It is mad. But like also like I don't know what it looks like. I have no idea what it looks like. I just know what it feels like to do it on stage. And the feeling is crazy on stage. I've never experienced anything like it. But like my mum and dad saw it for the first time and my mum just couldn't speak for like an hour after it. And that became like a normal thing. Do you know what I mean? Like you would kind of go to stage door and your mates would be there and you'd go and see your friends and stuff. And normally when you're in a show, people are quite like, oh, that was really good. Like, well done. Like, woo. But with this show, for some reason, it just stunned people. Do you know what I mean? Like so many people just didn't really know what to say. So then it just took like a couple of hours for them to like figure out like and process what they just saw, because it is just a sensory overload. Do you know what I mean? You've got like cinematography. You've got we had one of the best. I think it was the biggest. Maybe it was like the second biggest. It was like a 17, 18 piece orchestra, which sounded unbelievable. Adam Fish is a sound designer. He's just an absolute genius. Like it literally sounded like crazy. Do you know what I mean? So you're just getting all of these different senses, an absolute barrage.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's incredible. So when you're working on something and you're so eager for people to see the finished product, I'm sure it was a different vibe then to not necessarily get that immediate feedback that you were hoping for.
Yeah. Well, no, but it was quite nice, like strangely. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. It felt like people really wanted to say how they felt, but they were just really processing what it was. So it was just quite like a nice wholesome. I had quite a few nice wholesome moments with friends after the show. Do you know what I mean? Where we had a really nice conversation about it. And yeah, no, I can't wait to do it again. I really hope that that people in the States are going to like freak, because the production's just Very, very good.
And so you're for sure coming over and doing it.
Yes. Yep.
Amazing.
Wait, okay. So your girlfriend plays young Nicole Scherzer. I mean, young Norma.
Yeah.
And when you first met her, was it like, were you kind of like, oh, okay, we're vibing. Or was it something that grew over time?
No, it was weird. Like the first day on rehearsals, we were very much, I spoke to everyone in that room, bar her.
Mm.
And she was exactly the same. And then like over the weeks, like we would go for some pints and stuff, like the cast after rehearsals, just like getting to know each other and seeing what the vibe was. And there was, I think we just kind of hit it off in that week and then haven't looked back since.
Oh, I love it. When did all of this process begin for you, with Sons? Like when did you all start rehearsals?
September time.
Okay. And it was just a limited run through like January or something like that, right?
Yeah, so we did 16 weeks through December and January. It was a limited run, but I think they always knew that they wanted to take it over.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of building up the stamina over here and building up what the show was going to be and testing it out and then taking it over for hopefully a longer run in the States.
Yeah. Were you familiar with Sunset Boulevard in general before you got cast?
Not at all. Because when I was at drama school, obviously you have like audition classes and all of these different classes and stuff. And you see all your mates doing songs and you go and do these rep classes with your singing teachers. And some guys had sung Sunset Boulevard. So I was like, oh, that's a cool little song. And then like a few of the girls had done With One Look and As Never Said Goodbye. So I kind of knew the hits of the show, but I didn't really know the rest of it. It was a bit of a shock when I got the role and then I realized I never leave the stage. So I was like, never. Oh, this is a lot to learn.
Except for when you go outside and you walk around and they have a little camera crew following.
Yeah, that bit was mad.
That was the other viral moment.
I have seen videos of that.
How
sure.
Do they get this? Yeah. How do you have like hear like anything in your ears?
Yeah, I've got in-ears.
Okay.
They molded, they got like molds of my ears and then they just sort of beam the sound to me. Again, I'm going to mention Adam's name. Like so many people would always ask me like, how the hell does that actually happen? Like, how is that live every night? Because that is, it's just like, it does blow your mind. Because there was maybe a couple of shows where it was a little bit glitchy, like the video would kind of like glitch out, or maybe like the signal for the microphone would just drop out and then come back in. Nothing really noticeable. You'd only really notice it if you really had seen the show a lot of times and you were like, that's not supposed to happen. So basically, people would always ask me, they're like, how the hell does that work? So I went up to Adam one day and I was just like, so everyone's asking, how the hell does it work? And he just looked at me and was like, I have no idea. He was literally like, it was an absolute hit and hope. It's not like I just basically put a signal, whatever that thing is, like an aerial out there and just really, really prayed that it would work. And it did. And we're just going with it. You know what I mean? And yeah. He was like, there's people on forums being like, they have like the Nimbus 2000 aerial. Like that is literally what, like, that's the reason that it's all working. Adam's just there being like, all of this, like, it's just an absolute chance that it's working, but it's brilliant that it is.
Were there ever any hecklers or anything happening out on the street?
Oh, there's quite a few security guards.
Okay.
So they kind of keep people at bay. The funniest one was we had like a group of maybe like 9 bridesmaids sort of walking down like 9 abreast down the Strand, and they were battered. And that I did the panic, and well, not the panic, because the security guards they're just so well trained, they're brilliant. But they were just like, right, this is awkward. we need to disperse this, otherwise there's no way that Tom's going to get through.
But yeah, gosh.
It was a bit of a crazy experience. That bit just felt like a fever dream every night. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm sure.
And then you're also playing opposite someone who is huge here, but is even bigger in the United Kingdom, Nicole Scherzinger. What was that like working with her, meeting her, building that relationship?
Oh man, I honestly, like, I love her like a sister now. Like, she is such a dear friend now. She's just like, she's just unbelievable. She's just lovely. And like, I'd never met somebody whose work ethic is as hard as her. Like, there's a reason that she's so successful. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That reason is because she just does not ever give up. She just keeps on going and going and going. There'd be times where like in the previews and tech and stuff, obviously you're doing like 12 hour days where you're just stood and they're focusing a light on you for like 4 hours trying to get the right shade of the light and the right track. Do you know what I mean? Everything's trying to go. And tech can be, it's like the first time that everyone in the production's involved, and it can be just like tiring. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
because
sure.
You're just repeating the same things over and over and over. And like, she would just come in and every single time just be incredible. Do you know what I mean? And then when you're doing it in previews and you're kind of changing stuff in the day and then you go and do the show in the evening, there'd be points. We had like 3 weeks of previews. There'd be points in that where I was absolutely knackered. Do you know what I mean? Just so tired. And I'd come in and I'd do the first bit and I'd be like, come on. I'd like come out of the body bag and I'd be like, I guess it was 5 a.m. And then I'd be like, oh, come on. You've really got to pull something out here. And then I'd stand and I kind of like, for with one look at the beginning of the show, we kind of come together and then she like moves downstage and I move upstage and I have this beautiful view of the back of Nicole's head, what like singing out to sort of 1,200 people singing with one look. And every single night she would just grab that audience and just, do you know what I mean? Straight in. And I'd just be like, right, you got to bring your A game now. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to really just wake up and come and like deliver because she is here in full force. And otherwise she is going to just eat you alive. So yeah, so it's been unbelievable. Also just like so lovely with like just help. Do you know what I mean? Like I'd never really had much. The jobs that I'd done before, like they weren't as high a profile as Sunset was. So like, it was a bit weird, like that sort of transition into a job where you just felt like there was a bit more of a, like a microscope on you. Do you know what I mean? Like people coming in sort of criticizing you more. And she was really helpful with sort of negotiating that. So yeah, I think she's an absolute god. Goddess.
I agree. That's really cool. Do you know, did they build the cast around her? So like, did you go in and ever do any chemistry stuff with her? I guess I'm just curious.
No, I never did any chemistry stuff with her. I think Jamie Lloyd is just, he's also a genius. Like the man, I've never met anybody who, he's just on a different playing field in terms of how his brain works. Like I always say to people, he is like, if everyone's kind of going through life sort of horizontally, Jamie's just running rings around people with his mind. Do you know what I mean? Like he'll think about 100 things while one person's trying to think about one thing. And so I think basically like Nicole trusts him with everything. She just allowed him to create the show that's his show. Do you know what I mean? I think it was built around Jamie's vision more than around Nicole, per se.
Very interesting. Okay. Gosh, I'm so excited to see it. I really think it's going to take Broadway by storm. People are going to love it. I mean, the online chatter, I don't know if you pay attention to like what's going on Twitter, Instagram, not really. People are gagging, Tom. They love you in your undies.
But like Jamie always says, don't read reviews. So I don't read any reviews. So I've not read anything. I don't know what anyone said about me. And then like Nicole was just like, steer clear of social media with typing your name. Because it is so easy to just type in your name and be like, what are people saying about me? But she was like, just get into a rabbit hole. So I'm just taking their advice and just like running with it.
That's really good advice.
I think that's smart. Yeah. Even if there's one thing, well, only one person who says something bad, it can totally derail everything, I'm sure. Yeah. So.
Well, it's like, do you know what I mean? It's so crazy. I don't know how people, for every 100 brilliant comments, there's always one bad comment. And for some people, always focus on that bad comment rather than the 100 good ones. Do you know what I mean? And it's just human nature. So I'm just trying to eliminate that.
Oh, trust me, we get it. We have like one star review on Apple Podcasts and Dylan and I were obsessed with it for a summer. We were like, who was it? Why did they do that? What episode did they listen to? So I get it. Well, gosh, I'm so excited for Sunset. So excited for you. I do want to go back a little bit and wonder when this theater stagey moment came into your life. We borrow Ring of Keys from the musical Fun Home because we like to think maybe you were watching something, participating in something that really ignited that fire in you where you were like, yeah, I need to perform. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment?
Yeah, so... like I was supposed to be like a farmer my whole entire life. Like all of my family are farmers.
Oh my God.
And that was my trajectory.
Farmer Francis.
Exactly. And basically I had a piano teacher who is also my best mate. And he was teaching me piano at the time, but then they kind of turned into rep lessons and we'd be doing stuff. Mm. And he was like, oh, why don't you give this a go? Like, give it a go. So I was just like, yeah, sure. I hated school. I absolutely despised school. So I was just like, yeah, I want to get out. So I went to college and just did a BTEC in musical theater, gave it a go, and then sort of have been winging it ever since.
Really?
Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
That was kind of the moment where I was like, oh, yeah, all right. We were singing stuff like Merrily Roll Along, do you know what I mean? All of that, like Frank Chipperdink. But I think the moment where I was like, I really, really want to do this as a career was when I saw the live filmed Broadway version of Rent.
Oh,
Is it Will Chase?
Yes.
Is that,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's amazing in that.
And I watched that and I was like, I need to do that job. Like, I want to do that show. That is my dream show. So I want to do it. And so I think that was the time where I was like, yeah, this is probably what I should do. And then, yeah, like, absolutely winging it.
But your voice is seriously incredible. I mean, when we saw you in Anne Juliet, we were like, oh, Romeo is giving vocals down. The tone is incredible. You have such a strong voice. Were you ever like singing in the car or singing around friends and they were like, oh, this dude's got a voice? Did that ever happen?
Yeah, well, I started playing guitar when I was like 6, and then I started singing and playing guitar when I was maybe like 10. And I think the first time that anyone ever actually noticed it was when I was probably about sort of like 8 or 9, and I was singing. And basically, I'm not religious in any way, but I used to live like right next door to the church in the village that I'm from. And my dad used to be the church warden just because it was convenient for the church, basically. Do you know what I mean? And he's more of like a holiday Christian. Do you know what I mean? He'll maybe go to church,
of course,
at Christmas time. But like, I think they do like a dog's Christmas service in my village. So he was like, so they're quite like going to that one because all of the dogs just join in with the carols, which is quite fun.
That would get me to go. That'd
exactly,
be the only
exactly.
Way
but I, it's not really my vibe. But obviously, as an 8-year-old, you used to just kind of go along with your parents. So I went along with my parents, and there was a lovely vicar there to this day who I don't actually, we kind of lost contact with him over the last 10 years. He's called Simon Hill. And he, when I was like 8 years old, basically went to my parents and was like, you need to send Tom to Westminster. And mum and dad were like, what? They were like, you need to send him to Westminster to be part of the Westminster Cathedral Choir because he's got a really good voice. And I think that that's what he should do. Like, I think he should be a singer. And my parents were like, we're not going to, they were like, that's a lot of money, that school. Like, I was just going to state schools, you know what I mean? They weren't really prepared to fork out for me to go to school, I don't think. But then they always used it. I was like, no, I want to stay with my mates. I want to stay with my mates in Bury.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I was bad, they'd be like, well, we're sending you to Westminster. And I'd be like, no. But that was like the first time that anyone kind of, I'd noticed that I'd got a voice.
Oh, well, shout out to Simon. That's really awesome. Shout. Wherever he is out there, that's really awesome. Wait, so what is the name of the village that you're from?
That village was Bradford St. George.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, it's like in Suffolk. It's like East Anglia. So like, you know, the bum of England.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were like thinking that it's like somebody sitting down on a seat, it's like
that
whole bum is like East Anglia, and it's one of the counties in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a certain accent that you have.
Yeah, I know. I my accent's just kind of all over the place, really. I mean, where I'm from, it's proper Suffolk vibes. So there's a really, really, you should go and Google the Suffolk dialect. So obviously I grew up with that, but then all of my family, like most of my family live in Essex, and then a load of my family live in Warrington up in north near Manchester. And then obviously I've been in London for the last 7 years. So my voice is just kind of flips in and out. I'm really worried about coming to New York because I feel like my ear really picks onto different accents. And I feel like I'm going to come back from the States to the UK and all my mates are going to be like, who the hell are you? Why are you talking like that?
You probably will.
It's bound to happen.
It probably will happen.
Do you do an American accent in the show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Okay. Oh, I'm excited to hear. I'm not going to make you do it right now.
When you come watch the show, just drop me a message and be like 10 out of 10 or rate it.
I'm sure it's fantastic. I think that people, like British people, can do an American accent very well. And the opposite, it can be a bit dodgy, I think.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I really don't know. Did you agree, though, with that?
Yeah, I think you're actually right. No, you're definitely right. There's sometimes where I hear Americans doing English accents, and I'm like, I feel like everyone thinks in America, we talk like this.
Uh-huh. It goes Cockney immediately. Oh. Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie One Day with Anne Hathaway?
I was going to say it.
She has like a really bad Manchester accent in that.
It is a bit crazy.
Yeah. But a little camp, you know. It's kind of fun. Wait, did you watch One Day on Netflix, the new show?
I'm watching it at the moment. In fact, one of my mates is the lead in it.
Leo?
Leo Woodall?
I went to drama school. Yeah, Leo was the year above me at drama school. And I used to live with his best mate. And he's fucking brilliant in it.
Oh, you can say it. Oh, yeah, go for it. Yeah.
No, he's just so good. He's just so sexy, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. There's something so about the way that he looks at whoever in the scene is with him, that there's something in his eyes where you can tell he's very intentional with the way that he's acting. It's not just reciting lines or like working for the camera.
I'm really glad that he's blowing up as well. Like everyone kind of knew it when he was at drama school. Do you know what I mean? He was like, everyone was just like, he's going to be absolutely fine. And he has just smashed it since coming out.
Oh, yeah. White Lotus was great.
Yes.
Yeah, he's amazing. I'm loving One Day.
Well, you're next. There's something in the water there at your arts school that you both went to. So,
yes, maybe.
Did you move to London right after you finished school?
Yeah, so I moved when I was 18. Yeah, so I moved after like school. I moved, and then I was at drama school from 18 to 21.
Okay. And then when did Rent happen? Because you mentioned this moment, you know, we love Will Chase. That performance is beyond. I mean, his One Song Glory. But you also have a phenomenal version of One Song Glory that is on YouTube for anyone who's curious. You've got to live this dream. The circle was completed. You got to do Rent. When was that? And what was that experience like?
I think it kind of happened over, I'm so bad with dates. It kind of happened twice because of COVID. So we rehearsed. I remember I got the job. So it was like the last day. In third year, you do two shows and then you have like a showcase. And COVID was like becoming a real thing in my third year. And I remember that basically like we did the showcase, but no one came. Normally like loads of agents come to the showcase, but there was like four people in the audience because everyone was just staying home because they were like, what the hell is this disease that's just ripping through the world? And then we finished that showcase. And I remember the head of the school came onto stage and he was like, right, everyone go to your lockers, get everything. The school's shut tomorrow. Right. Like, and it's shut until further notice. Everything's going online. And so we were all like, well, this is a bit rubbish, isn't it? Like, what the hell? But I'd been auditioning for Rent while I was doing my third year because Luke Shepherd came into school and our director for it came into school and was, yeah, just kind of like auditioning our whole year for a few different projects that he had going on. And then basically I got home after being told that third year has just been kind of cancelled. I got home and my agent at the time called me up and was like, you got Rent. And I was like, what? On the same day, like literally this was about an hour after like third year got cancelled. So then we kind of went into like the first lockdown. And I just remember going home and I was like, well, I'm going to learn this show. So I just learned it so that I could like go to rehearsals on the first day and sort of like feel confident. And then, yeah, we rehearsed for like a month and then went up to Manchester. And the first iteration, they basically, to get around all of the rules, they put us in a house together. I think there was 12 of us in the cast and we were in like a 12 bedroom house in Manchester. And it was just mental. Like there should have been like a film crew on us because it was the most mental thing. Like all of you going to work together in the morning, like in four cars that are all within the group of the cast. And then like getting to work, spending the whole day together and then going home, eating together, hanging out all evening. And then, do you know what I mean? It was the most mental experience ever looking back at it now. But yeah, so we basically were doing that, but they had the producer, had the foresight to sort of film it because they were like, we don't know if we're going to be able to do this all. So we did like a live film version of it, but then we had our opening night and it closed like halfway through. They literally were like, we're gonna have to close the show tomorrow, we can't do it anymore, so you can't do the rest of the run. So we were all a bit gutted because we obviously didn't get to do the full run in Manchester. They're like, but we're definitely bringing it back. So then there was like a seven or like it might have even been a year hiatus where everyone was just doing different things. And then we all came back together and did it for the full 6 weeks. We did it kind of twice, but there was a slight different cast in the second time because some people like Ahmed Hamed, who I did Sunset with just now, he also was in Rent the first time round, but we had Michael Coma in the second version. Do you know what I mean? So there was a few different people that kind of switched out, but yeah, no, it was nice to finally like finish it. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
But it was an absolute dream come true. That show, man.
It's one of the best.
Oh my God. Well, when I was watching clips of yours in it, I just kept letting them play. I mean, Rent was one of those informative musicals for us when we were younger. And I guess it's one of those things that I just don't listen to all the time, but the music is just gorgeous. Oh my God. It's beyond.
It like really puts you in your feels. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
100%. It's definitely puts you
in your feels. There's some heartbreaking melodies in that show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite moment of Rent each night?
Well, I dreaded One Song Glory.
Really?
Because basically like early on in the run, I had potentially the worst fuck up on stage that I've ever had.
Oh no.
Which is where I completely forgot all of the lyrics to One Song Glory. And I basically just sang One Song Glory about 40 times. But to the melody, do you know what I mean? I was like, one song, glory, one song, glory, one song, one song, one song, glory, one song. And I literally just ended up going round and round and round. So then, because my brain just completely went elsewhere, like And it was like my first job. Like I just wasn't used to like the pressure of having to do it every night for 6 weeks. So I kind of dreaded that every single night because I was just like, please brain, just engage and just do it. But I think my favorite bit is probably either your eyes at the end of the show or, you know, that little interlude bit in the end of Act One.
In the middle of La Vie Boheme.
Who knows where? And it's like, trusting this, I'm starting to learn. Just singing that with Maya, because it's just in such a good like part of both of our voices. It was just sick how it was like so like quiet and it was all tingling there. And then you get to that trust and desire and we were just full on just belting each other. That was really fun.
Oh my God. Yeah, I can imagine. It does. It kind of sneaks up in there. It's in the middle of like one of the most high octane numbers in the show. And then...
Yeah, and it just all just drops down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it. That's amazing.
So had you seen Anne Juliet before you were cast?
I went to go and watch it once I was cast.
Okay. Because Luke Shepherd...
Yeah, Luke... I owe him a lot. He's basically given me most of the jobs I've done.
a good friend.
He's a good friend now. I love him very dearly. I kind of watched it once I got the job. When you're acting and you're doing jobs and stuff, it's really hard to see stuff because you're just always on the same schedule as everyone else. So unless you can just sneak to a matinee if they've got a different day. So I think I was just doing other jobs and busy and out of town and stuff, so I couldn't really see it. But then when I got the job, I was like, well, I need to go and do a show watch to see what this is like. It is just the most mental show, isn't it?
I know.
It's on Broadway at the moment, isn't it? Still. It's still going.
Still going.
And it's in Australia as well, isn't it?
It's a hit. Yeah. It's a hit here.
Yeah, it's just a feel-good show. After COVID and after everything that's been going on, it's just one of those shows where you can really just go and, like, you just don't need to think. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can just go and just enjoy some unbelievable songs written by Max and a brilliantly written story written by David. And the characters are lovely. Yeah.
You were so good in this show. I mean, like, I know we mentioned it earlier, but the chemistry you had with your castmates, I mean, Oliver Thompson and Cassidy Jensen, like, everybody just top of their game, doing something I think some people might think is a little bit silly, but ultimately was really surprisingly brilliant.
Yeah, it was a very fun show. I also met my best mate of all time on there.
Who's that?
Tim Mahendran is my, like, literal ride or die human being.
Oh, my God.
We shared a dressing room for the first, like, 6-7 months of the contract before we left and Billy joined. But like, we just on it, like turning up to work and just being in a dressing room with your best mate, there is no feeling like it. But, I mean, we always pranking each other and playing FIFA and just doing stupid things together. And it was an unforgettable 6 months.
Oh, I love him.
I'm so upset we didn't get to see him. We saw Billy, who was fantastic, but I've been a fan of Tim. He was on the 13 cast album
he is,
and I have always loved his voice. I've always thought he's just fantastic.
Yeah, I always get that little bit of him out in 13 and play it to him like out of nowhere. Yeah, he does hate that when I do that, but yeah, no, oh, he's so good. He's so brilliant, man. You should get him on here. He's got good to chat about.
I would love to, actually.
Wait, who is he in 13?
I can't remember his character name.
What song does he sing, Dylan?
He does sing a lot. What I find funny is you can see him like in the picture, and I just find that so funny. He does Get Me What I Need.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
Right, every time, it always makes me laugh.
I think my fiance played that role actually when he was a young lad as well. So I should know the name of the character, but I can't remember it. But that's so special that you were able to forge such a strong bond. And this was obviously your West End debut, right?
Yeah, it was.
Doing Angela.
Yeah, it was.
They probably knew a trick or two to with that 8-show-a-week schedule and everything.
Yeah, what? I was in Tim. Yeah, no, he...
As in Tim, yeah.
Yeah, no, he really helped me through. Because it was... And also, Anne Juliet is probably the hardest show I've ever done. And obviously, Romeo's only in the second half. But the way that I wanted to sing it, it was just like full throttle because I felt like if I didn't go full throttle on it, then it like just didn't sit in places of my voices that I felt were good for my character choices. So I felt like I just always needed to give it beans and beans and beans. But when you're doing that with pop music and pop melodies, all of the melodies are, they just change and they go up and down. Do you know what I mean? And it's it's like hard on your vocal cords. So I did struggle a little bit on that Juliet with having time off. With like, I bruised my vocal cords at one point.
No.
I had to like literally like my voice went mid start of Act Two. You know that bit when Love Me Like You Do happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I literally just walked out. My voice was fine. Just It's My Life. Interval happened. Came out on stage and I literally was just like, "You're the light," and it just went. And I literally was like, the ground needs to swallow me up whole. And then it literally does swallow you when you get pushed to the floor. But I was like, what is happening? It was a hard show.
Wait, so did it come back in that moment?
Or no, it, you... I had to, it was like a mid-show swing on.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I literally lost it and I was off for like a week. It's just a really high-octane show. And the Romeo part is, and I know you've not got much stage time, but it is a really hard part. Like, I really...
Mm-hmm.
I found it really hard. Jordan just set some mad keys. So everything's crazy high. And then you kind of spend like act one sort of cycling yourself up. And then you've got to come, everyone's been on the train for the last 45 minutes. And you've kind of got to jump on the train at full throttle with It's My Life and keep up with everyone. Do you know what I mean? It was a bit of a tough show to do, but I learned a lot from it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, what I appreciated about the way that you entered the show is they're talking about Romeo the whole time.
Yeah.
Everyone was in love with him. You have to like believe the hype about this guy when he does arrive at the end of the first half. So you absolutely were amazing. And I appreciated all of your sacrifices for that performance.
Thank you. It's a mental entrance, isn't it?
It is.
Oh yeah. Rockstar, true rockstar entrance.
Gee, every single time I was coming down, I was like, what the hell is my life right now?
That's so interesting then, because then you were saying that you're on stage basically the whole time in Sunset. So what a switch up. You don't have any downtime to catch up on your Instagram feed or do any crossword puzzles backstage.
Or prank Tim while he's doing the show.
That's true.
Luke, if you heard that, I never did that. If Luke's ever listens to this.
I was watching an interview clip with Nicole Scherzinger, the aforementioned Scherzy, and she was talking about you and how much she trusts you and adores you and working with you. And she mentioned that you're in a band or you have a band. Is this real?
Yeah, I do my own music. Yeah. So I did a workshop. I think I can say it. It's a workshop. I did a workshop of If Then.
Love that show.
Which I think they want to do something with, and I think they definitely should, because I think it's got some beautiful music in that show. But I met a girl on it called Priya Kalidas, who she was in like EastEnders, I believe. She's done loads of theatre over here. Yeah, just a seasoned actress, you know what I mean? Really knows her stuff. And basically, I kind of met her on this job, and it was in between going to Birmingham with Pussycat and Rent Finishing. And I met her, and she kind of, I was a featured ensemble part in this workshop, and basically she was just, had a few solo lines in it, and she kind of heard me sing, and she came up to me in one of the lunch breaks and was like, should we grab a falafel or something? And I was like, yeah, cool. So we went for a walk, and she was like, I've not heard anyone. She was like, basically, I'm signed to a record label, I'm doing my thing, and I want to do a cover of a Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush song, Don't Give Up. Do you know that song?
I'm not familiar.
I think it's Kate Bush. Please don't slaughter me if it isn't. But yeah, so basically like it's, so it was a cover of that. And she was like, I've not found my Peter Gabriel yet. Would you like to come to the studio and give it a go? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And then, so I kind of went in and met the two people that I work with and then have been developing my own music ever since. But it's going to be a while.
Okay. I was going to say, is there any snippets of it online?
If you go onto my Instagram, I think I put a highlights reel where, because I was doing a gig after And Juliet closed, before Sunset started, and I did a few gigs in London, and I played a few originals, and as a warm up, I think I posted a few and put them as a highlights under originals on my Instagram. If you want to have a listen,
love it.
Oh, that's so fun! That's exciting. You had a lot going on.
You do.
It's a lot going on. It's like, do you know what I mean? I'm busy at the moment. It's just a lot of like pots that you're trying to juggle.
Are you able to kind of take a little bit of a break now before coming into the States? Or
yeah, that was a massive thing for me. We finished the show and obviously knew that we were coming over soon-ish, so I just wanted to have time to actually just decompress and think about what just happened in terms of Sunset and just sort of have some time. Like, I went to Morocco with my girlfriend for a holiday.
Fun.
We've just been, it's just been really, it's been really nice to do all the things that you don't do when you're in a show. Do you know what I mean? Like family functions and mates going for a mate's birthday party and not arriving at 11 o'clock at night. Do you know what I mean? And like all of those little things that like, it's just, it's nice to like grab that moment and really spend some time with your friends and family sort of while you've got the schedule to do it.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Is Sunset meant to be limited again, like another 16 week type thing? Or do you think it'll be like a year or something?
It's not so much of a short run.
Okay.
I think Jamie wants it to go and for it to have its full life. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah. Well, y'all need to win all the Tony Awards. So.
Well, who knows? But yeah, they I think they want it to go and for it to really like, yeah, go from it being a baby in London to being a teenager, to being an adult, and then having a peaceful death. that's what I think they want. So yeah, I don't think
all covered in blood and absolutely. That's fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait. Well, Tom, this has been so fun. But before we wrap up the convo, we do always like to end on a dose of drama. This could be a pop culture recommendation, the drama you were consuming last night, something you're doing later today, something you want to rant about, rave about. Well, I guess I'll start with mine today. We were talking about One Day earlier on Netflix, which everybody needs to watch. It's definitely my dose of drama. I've been thinking about it for weeks. I finished it in like a fever dream of 3 days and sobbed my eyes out for hours after I finished. It's so good. And yeah, Leo he's a star. He's going to be the next big thing. I want these two to take off like Paul Mescal and Daisy Edgar Jones did from Normal People. Like, I want this to be their moment because they got the sauce. So
yeah,
got to let it rip.
I agree.
Yeah. Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
You know, so many fun things have been going on recently. The only thing I'll say is, and we'll talk about it more, I think, at another podcast, Connor, but I cannot stop thinking about Dune Part 2, which I got to see over the weekend. Oh my God, my mind is blown. It reminds me of when I saw like one of the Lord of the Rings movies growing up or something like that. That was just huge in scale, so much going on, cutting edge effects. It was absolutely brilliant. And Connor, I know that you've always been the president of Club Chalamet, aka the Timothy Chalamet fan club, but I have always liked him a lot. But after this, I'm like, oh, he's a movie star. Like, he's really fantastic in this movie. And I also, of course, love Rebecca Ferguson, who slays as the reverend mother, Lady Jessica. Yeah. Are you a Dune person, Tom?
I started watching it and then I had to go out. But my best mate who I'm going to see the start of the 10 tomorrow, like I mentioned earlier, he watched it the other day and he just like messaged me. He was like, this Dune thing's crazy. And so I was like, all right, I need to give it a go.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's a big fan. So
yeah,
I need to see it.
I highly recommend. Do you have a dose of drama for us today?
I think my dose of drama is I'm rewatching Sopranos.
Oh.
And I'm rewatching it for like the third time.
Oh, wow.
And I just love it. It's just the best TV show I think it's ever been written. The fact that you just go from like loving him to hating him to want to be his friend to being petrified of him. Like, the character in Tony Soprano is just second to none. So I think people should be going back and rewatching that. It's the kind of thing that my girlfriend's not seen, and I don't know whether to just go. I'm like halfway through season two again, and I don't know whether to just go back to the beginning and watch it with her, because I feel like that would be quite a cool thing, watching someone watch it for the first time.
Oh yeah,
because it blew my mind when I first saw it.
But the pressure's then on for her to like. I mean, how could she not like it? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, maybe. But she, yeah, I think she will. She likes that gangster kind of stuff.
Okay. God, season two. I really loved like season two, three, four, like the middle couple seasons. I loved.
Yeah. They're really good.
It gets kind of dark for me at the end, but
is season two when Meadows got a romance with what is the name? Jack? Is this Jackie Jr.? Is that it? I forget.
Or
is
that season three? No, I think that. Yeah, I think it happens late season two, mm-hmm. season three.
Yeah, God, it is so good. Everybody, the acting is beyond too.
It is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Although I find myself now, like, I'll be doing like a self tape, and I'll for some TV stuff, and I'll just be like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I doing like little hand signals that Tony Soprano does? I'm like, no. Like, you're from California right now. You're supposed to be from California. You're a surfer dude. You're not a gangster from like New Jersey. Get that out of your mind. So,
oh, you really do pick up on things. It'll be interesting to see what happens when you come over here and what accent you have and hand gestures you use. Well, Tom, this was such a delight. Like, seriously, Connor and I had so much fun. I know I speak for both of us when I say it was so amazing to get to know you. And I can't wait to meet you in real life when you're over here.
Yeah, that's really fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And where can everybody follow you online?
My Instagram and Twitter and everything like that is just at Real Tom Francis, I think.
Love it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, everybody's following Tom. They got to follow us at The Drama Podcast. Dylan is at Dylan McDowell and I'm at Connor McDowell. Now I'm like pointing my fingers. I'm like Tony Sopranoing it over here. But
thank you again, Tom. It was so nice to meet you.
Thank you so much.
And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.